The Supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about the fault finder in the view of Islam.
الهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا یا خبیرم به فقری و فاقتی.
At this point, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 28th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of January, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Al-Humazah from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ويل لكل همزة لمزة.
Woe to every scorner and mocker.
الذي جمع مالا وعدده.
Who collects wealth and continuously counts it.
يحسب أن ماله أخلده.
He thinks that his wealth will make him immortal.
كلا لينبذن في الحطمة.
No, he will surely be thrown into the crusher.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةُ.
And what can make you know what is the crusher?
نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةُ.
It is the fire of Allah, eternally fueled.
الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةُ.
Which mounts directed at the hearts. Indeed, hellfire will be closed down upon them. In extended columns.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, says, the lowest one amongst people is he who insults people. Then it refers to the source of their hideous behavior. It often originates from the arrogance and pride caused by wealth. He likes wealth so much so that he always counts his golden coins or other things among his riches and enjoys them as if each of them is an idol for himself. And wealth is the center of everything in his personality. It is natural that such a foolish, astray person always mock the poor, believing people. As I told you, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and the topic of this episode is the fault finder in the view of Islam. The concept of self-accountability is nothing new in Islam. Little wonder that Martin Luther King rightly said, the highest form of maturity is self-inquiry. Quite often when we are out there commanding good and forbidding evil in order to correct and restore, we fail to look at ourselves and end up doing the opposite of what we command or forbid. All of a sudden, everyone else's faults start to surface, and forbidding evil inevitably leads to fault-finding and undermining the character of people and sometimes destroying relationships. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, The worst of people are those engaged in slandering others, those who ruin relationships between dear ones, who try to find faults with innocent people. The Prophet of Islam also admonished us, saying, "When you pursue the faults of others, you corrupt them," and warned, "Those who unduly pursue the shortcomings of others will have their own faults exposed."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about picking faults and picking faults in others mostly. Actually, this is not a value. This is something that I can call it a vicious or wicked habit that some of us are afflicted with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find faults in yourselves. Chapter 49, verse 11. One of the pillars of perfection of a person's soul and spirit is that he has the ability to examine his own spiritual state. Through looking at his own defects and ethical weaknesses, he looks at his own inner self through self-recognition so that he is able to cut all of the roots of the destructive traits that are within his soul and spirit that have taken shape and materialized over time. From the point of view of the scholars, the discussion of self-recognition is so important that they say the person who wishes to remove the chains of impurity from himself and wishes to save himself from the negative effects that the spiritual defects cause must not only think of these issues during certain times in his life. Rather, he must ponder over these every day during his hectic schedule. Thus, when he finds some quiet and peaceful time, he must sit down, take out a piece of paper, and write down all of the actions that he performed that day, and without being biased, must review all of his deeds. If he finds something that was done which is not commendable, then he must resolve not to repeat that act.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special and this part entitled The Virtues of Veiling Others. The beloved Prophet has prohibited the action of fault-finding and mentioned the virtues of concealing the faults of others on several occasions. Prophet of Islam said, "Whosoever witnesses someone's hidden fault and conceals it, it will therefore be like the person who takes out a child, was buried alive in the grave and saves its life." In another place it is stated, "The one who conceals the matters of a Muslim, Allah Almighty will conceal his matters in this world and the hereafter." Meaning he should not reveal his concealed faults, and the condition that concealing it will not result in haram to the religion or people, otherwise he should definitely reveal it. He should have despised amongst the non-Muslims cut and reveal the hidden matters of those who plot. He should inform the one who is being plotted against and is to be killed unjustly. Good character is one thing, affairs and politics are another.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take,
every bird I hear, every smile I see, is thanks to you.
Now be with us to look at how to stop finding faults in others. Try to understand the emotional and situational context where they are coming from. We often blame others because of a fundamental attribution error. We are consistently able to justify our own actions because we know the emotional and situational context behind them. We have to be able to apply this to others and emphasize with what their emotional and situational context may be. It is easy to fall into the blame game, but to pull ourselves out of that perspective, we need to do a little work. It requires some emotional intelligence and more than a little patience to look at a person and reframe what may have been behind their failing.
The meaning of al-humaza, according to one translation, because sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get an accurate English translation for powerful Arabic words. Al-humaza means the fault finder. The one who has the habit of finding faults with others, exposing others, backbiting others. This is the title of this chapter. Now, if you look at the general state of society in Mecca at the time, you find that those aristocrats in Arabia, particularly in Mecca, they felt that if they had money and they had power, they were invincible. They can get away with whatever they wanted. They can criticize, they can denounce, they can slander, they can find fault with others, mock others. They really believed they were entitled to that. They could get away with any crime, ruining others' reputation, causing social damage. By the way, this is not only confined to that society in that era, even in our society today. People who are rich and powerful and famous, they think they can get away with anything, right? If you've got a lot of money and you're influential, you can commit a crime, violate the law, get some top lawyers, and they'll get you out of it. Isn't that the mentality in some parts of the world today? Same idea exists here. And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these chapters to address certain issues that existed at the time, remember that the Quran is a book of guidance for everyone throughout history. It's applicable in all times and ages. It's a lesson for all of us.
Topic was the fault finder in the view of Islam. Inshallah, on the next episode of this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio, we continue to search and find more about this interesting topic. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought. everyone. Let us reflect upon an aphorism worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He who gallops with loose rein collides with death.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about God's love towards His servant. There are numerous verses in the Holy Quran regarding God's love for His creatures. And of course, it's necessary to remember that God has two types of love, right? There is a general love and affection and mercy, right, which encompasses all of God's creatures, regardless of whether they are good or bad. And at the same time, God has a specific love. This is specifically for those servants who are righteous and good. And in this hadith, Allah's love for his creatures, the love that is being referred to is the specific love. Right? This love is acquired by means of good deeds and by means of servanthood and ibadat. In the Holy Quran, we read the following regarding God's love. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. The criterion for the acquisition of God's love in this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran is the emulation of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, because he is the Habib, the beloved of God. And if we want to become beloved like him, we want God to love us like he loved his beloved prophet, then we should emulate him and act like he did and follow him in his actions and his mannerisms and his beliefs and his thoughts. And this verse is interesting because it says that, you know, the whole purpose of a person who loves God is the acquisition of God's love, meaning the person who loves God, he wishes for this love to become reciprocal. Obviously, this is the specific love we were talking about. When God loves his servant with that specific love, you know, the sins of that servant are become forgiven. And in the end of the verse, God says, and Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. This is a little bit about this specific love that God gives to his servants. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alludes to this love. He says, when Allah loves a servant, he inspires him with good acts of devotion. Right, so not only does devotion lead to the acquisition of the love of God, it is also the inspiration for what devotion should be and how it should be is a result and consequence of God's love. And then obviously when a servant knows how he should act and how he should devote himself to God, he acts upon this, and you know, these acts of good deeds and acts of devotion are carried out by him. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at God's love as a source of inspiration for good deeds and good acts of devotion. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم. Salaam alaikum and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Salaam alaikum. How are you? Are you good?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Welcome back again. Thanks to Allah Almighty that we are, alhamdulillah, going to hold another Quranic session in level 3 of our Quranic classes, the Tajweed rules, okay? So, as you know that in the previous sessions, we were talking about the very first important topic in Tajweed, which was about the pronunciation of the Arabic alphabet letters, the correct pronunciations. Because some of the letters are very important to focus, okay, on, and they are differently pronounced. I mean, the articulation points are difficult. So that's why we really have to pay attention to those letters. Yes?
Yes.
So we kind of learned, like, almost all of them, yeah? Like, 8, 9 letters were there, which were important. So about the articulation points, we mean that the way or the sound these letters produce, or we mean, like, which part of the tongue do we use, okay? Or which part of the mouth or the teeth or the throat, okay? We use to produce the sound of that letter. This is called the articulation point, yeah?
Yes.
Where it comes from, where the sound comes from. If the sound comes from the throat, it's a throat letter, okay?
Yep.
Like the letter ha.
Like gha.
Gha. Like kha. Or like ayn, hamza, okay? So these are throat letters. And if the letter comes, okay, by using your tongue, okay, more, like it's called, or using your mouth, okay? So it's not a throat letter. So you use your tongue, okay? In this case, the articulation point or the pronunciation becomes a little different. And also we learned that some of the letters produce an aw sound, yes?
Yes. Awesome.
So you have to remember the word awesome, yeah?
Yes.
Awesome.
Because it has that sound. Awesome. Or some of the letters produce an sound.
Happy words.
Happy words. Or happy letters, yes? Happy letters. So they produce an sound. Now, let me ask you to read the Arabic alphabet letters, okay? One by one. Let's see if you produce the sounds correctly, okay? If you say the letters correctly. Ready?
Do we have to say the pronunciation or the, like, the name of the letter, like alif or a?
Alif. Say the name alif.
Yes.
Okay. Then, inshallah, we'll say them with fatha, kasra, dhamma as well once, okay? So, Hussein Ruhullah, ready?
Alphabets?
Yeah. Bismillah, alif.
Alif. Alif. Ba.
Ta.
Fa.
Tha. Oh, good. That's tha, right?
Yes.
Tha.
Tha. How do you pronounce it?
We use our tongue between our teeth.
Yeah. Between your teeth. Front teeth, yeah?
Yes.
Or just let the tip of your tongue touch the edge or the tip of your front upper teeth.
Tha.
Tha. Tha. Tha. That's good. After tha?
Jim.
Ha. Ha, right?
Ha.
So how do you say this? Use your
throat,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a throat letter. So you say ha, 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 middle of your throat. If you put your finger, okay, on your throat, it vibrates. Ha, ha, ha. You feel it, okay? You feel the vibration, or it moves like. So, next one, ha. The next one?
Ha.
Ha. Ha is an aw
sound
it has, yes?
Also.
It's a heavy letter. But remember, okay, kha and ra, these two letters, they are conditional. So what do we mean by conditional? We mean that they do not produce that ah sound. When do they produce that ah sound? Whenever they have fatha on the top, or there is an alif after them. Or they are sucking, but a fatha comes before them. Okay, a fatha, then kha or ra, or inshallah we'll study and we will say, okay,
always heavy letters, okay, we have. Temporary heavy letters we have, okay? Inshallah, steady. So just remember from now, okay, that Kha and Ra are conditional, okay? Yes. They are temporary heavy letters. So Kha. If it has a kasra, we do not say Kha. No. It is Khe. Look, Khe. It doesn't produce that A sound.
Yes.
Okay? But like the letters Ba, Ta, whenever they have Fatha, if they do not have Fatha, they have an A sound, lower sound.
Yes.
Okay?
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
Let's continue. Kha, next one.
Dal.
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 Okay, next one.
Dal.
Dal. So, dal, for what? It's pronounced the same as?
Dal, but with the sound of the.
Vibrating sound.
Yes.
Okay.
So, you use again the same as the letter tha, you use the tip of your tongue.
Yes.
Let it touch the tip of your front upper teeth.
Dal.
Dal.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Next one.
Ra.
Ra, good. Ra is as well conditional, the same as kha.
Yes.
So when it has a kasra, you say re.
Yeah.
Re.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next one.
Za.
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 Ra, za.
Za.
So pay attention to the sounds, okay? Some of them are heavy, some of them are
light.
Okay, it's important. Next one.
Next one. Seen.
The sun was seen so soon. Seen.
Yeah.
Seen. Next one.
Seen. Sheen.
Sheen. Stretch the sound. Okay, the other one?
Sod.
Sod, right?
Yes.
Sod. How do you say this?
Sod.
Sod.
You open your mouth.
You will put our tongue.
Who is sad?
Yeah.
Who is sad?
No one.
No one is sad?
No.
Because we are sod. We are not sad.
Yes. Yeah.
The word sad, make it produce an Bold A sound, okay, instead of A sound.
So,
that becomes sod.
So. Sod.
But the D must not be pronounced like D. Change it to replace it with
dal. You mean bolding it?
Sod.
Yeah?
Bolding it?
Yeah, bold it. Make it produce like a dal sound, not D sound, okay?
Yes.
So, sod. Sad. Sod. Look, if you say a sound, the difference is with the a and a sound, okay?
Yeah.
A becomes sod, a becomes sad. Next one.
What?
Tod. How do you say this one, Hussein Musa? Come on.
Dod.
Dod. Exactly where does the tongue go? Where does it touch?
Put your mouth.
Put your mouth on your head.
Your tongue.
Okay, well, how?
I don't know. I just don't
okay.
have to
no,
say.
You know, you produce the sound. You pronounce it very well, okay? But it might be difficult for you to explain how you did
Can
it.
Can I say?
It's hard.
Putting your tongue back of the upper teeth, then pronouncing it with a bolding sound.
Mm. But you just, like, not at the back of your front teeth. Very far back, okay? Farther back. Where? That gum area.
Yeah.
Yes. That gum area we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gum area. So place your tongue
on
okay,
the gum area.
There, on the gum area, okay?
Dod.
Press it against the gum area. Now say odd.
Odd.
Dod. 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 That's easy.
Yeah.
Dod.
Dod.
Dod. A sound between Z and D.
D.
Dod.
Yeah.
Dod. That's the same as I say?
Dod.
That's nice.
Dod.
Dod, yes.
Dod.
That's good.
Dod.
That's nice. Or for example, yeah, the word dad.
Dad. Yeah.
Yes. Where's your dad?
Yes.
Where's your dod? Yeah,
you can
dad dod.
Bold it.
Yeah, bold it, but it has to be a sound between dod and dod. Okay? Dod, I mean Z and D. Lord, Lord. All right?
Yes.
So, Hussain Rahullah, continue. The next letters, Lord after Lord.
Ta.
Ta. How do you say Ta?
Ta is again like Sod, but we should say like T, bold. But like not bold.
Not bold or
no,
bold
no,
one?
Bold, bold, yes.
Bold one.
Yes.
How do you say this?
Ta.
Ta. Ta. Where exactly does the tongue go? Where does it touch?
The same as
Da. Yeah, gum area.
The same as Da.
Yes.
La, Lord.
No, it's mostly back of our...
Yeah, the back of your front appetite.
Yeah, front appetite.
Yes. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Put your tongue, okay? At the back of your front appetite, here.
Yeah.
Ta. Say ta, the letter ta.
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 Ta. Ta. Now, try to say it with an R sound.
Ta.
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 Ta. Ta. Ta. That's it. Okay. Good. Remember that the letter sod... Dod, Ta, La, okay, and Ghain. These letters are always heavy letters.
Yeah.
Okay? Always heavy letters. So they always like produce that heavy sound. Okay? But not an ah sound, not always. I mean heavy. Heavy means like graph sound.
Yes.
Okay, graph sound.
Yes.
So, where, for example, you say, even if they have kasra, khi, khi. We had this one, but it didn't produce that awesome sound always, yes? Heavy sound.
Yes.
But for example, Dod, we have D, D. Look, it has that gruffness.
Yeah.
It is heavy.
Yeah.
D. Yes? D. It has that heavy sound, okay?
Yes.
Not an awesome sound, but that heavy sound it has. It is heavily pronounced.
Yes.
It might be kind of difficult for us. Like, khe is easy. When it has kasra, it is easy. But when it has, like... Fatha, it might be difficult. But Dod, even if it has kasra, again, it has that heavy, like sound, it is heavily pronounced. Look, it has it.
Yeah.
So, Ta, next letter?
Va.
They are the twin brothers, okay? We have twins a lot, okay? Sod, Dod, twins?
Yeah, Sin, Shin.
Sin Shin,
Ein Rein,
Ein Rein,
Ba Ba,
Fa Qaf,
Fa An Qaf,
Qaf
Qaf. Come on, they are not twins. Fa An Qaf. How are they twins? They look differently.
Yeah,
one is so so fat. The other one is so thin.
Yes,
they are not brothers. Maybe they look the same. Okay. So thank you so much for joining us. Alhamdulillah, we learned the Arabic alphabet letters correctly now. The pronunciation, the articulation points. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. But before we end, let's give a big thanks to Allah Almighty. And then a big thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network.
And the students.
The students. Yeah, Hussein Musa, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, Haider Karrar, and also Ali Nasser and me, Habibullah Fasiza. Thank you so much. See you inshallah in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
Illallah, la ilaha illallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, Ya Ilahi wa Sayyidi wa Mawlaya wa Malik Irqi, Ya Man Biyadihi Nasiyati, Ya Ali Man Bidhurri wa Maskanati, Ya Khabiran Bifakri wa Faqati.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail Supplication. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. My Lord, My Lord, My Lord. Ya Ilahi wa Sayyidi wa Mawlai. My Allah, My Master and My Protector. Wa Malika Riqqi. O owner of my bondage. Ya Man Biyadihi Nasiyati. O he in whose hand is my forelock, Ya Aliman Bidurri wa Maskanati. O he who knows my affliction and my misery, Ya Khabiran Bifakri wa Faqati. O the one who is aware of my poverty and my indigence. After explaining some of the verses of the Holy Quran and some of the traditions, emphasizing on the importance of mentioning Rabb, the exalted name of the Almighty Allah in the beginning of the supplications, we turn to yet another important aspect regarding this part of the Kumail supplication. That was the acceptance of deeds. We said, based on the verses of the Holy Quran and the traditions, there are some other conditions to be met if we want our deeds to be accepted. And furthermore, if we want to be forgiven, if we want to be closer to the station of mercy of the Almighty Allah, if we want to be enveloped in the ocean of mercy of the Lord of the universe. Our traditions are replete with different instances of mentioning these conditions to be met for the acceptance of deeds. Imam Ali alayhi salam, for example, says, إِنَّكَ لَنْ يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْ عَمَلِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَخْلَصْتَ فِيهِ One of those conditions that we have previously discussed is sincerity in our actions. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. إِنَّكَ لَنْ يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْ عَمَلِكَ Surely your deeds will not be accepted. إِلَّا مَا أَخْلَصْتَ فِيهِ Except those which have been done piously. So piety in action is one of those important conditions.
And who is aware of my suffering and poverty? Oh, he who knows my destitution and starvation.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. Feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is
The ocean of dua.
As a result, dear listeners, of what we have previously discussed, the deeds of a servant who has belief, sincerity, and piety will be accepted for sure. And accepted deeds is so valuable that it is narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that من قبل الله منه صلاة واحدة لم يعذبه. A person, one of whose prayers is accepted, لم يعذبه. Allah will not punish him. ومن قبل منه حسنة لم يعذبه. And anyone, one of whose deeds is accepted, will not be chastised at all. And it continues, من قبل منه حسنة واحدة لم يعذبه أبدا. A person, one of whose deeds is accepted by Allah, will not be chastised at all. And it continues, ودخل الجنة. And he will get into the paradise. This means the acceptance of deeds most of the time has the result of acceptance of the repentance of the servant. And this means the servant has got no worries in entering the paradise. We ask the Almighty Allah to keep us away from dullness in doing our deeds. This is what He has asked us to do. He has asked us to have sincerity in our knowledge, in our behavior, in our friendship and enmity. This means all of our actions must be based on a foundation, which is belief and faith. That is why the Holy Prophet says, أعلى الأعمال إخلاص الإيمان. The best deeds are belief and piety. And this means the conditions must be met if you want to be closer to the station of mercy of the Almighty Allah. We ask the Almighty Allah to increase our joy in performing His deserved worship. We ask Him to grant our hearts full awareness, because we need awareness in our actions if we want mudawama, if we want to continue our deeds with piety. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means
today I'd like to read to you an excerpt from
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decree.
His decree though we learn.
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. Today's great tip, what are the secrets of the Salah and how can the Salah help us in our ubudiyah, our obedience, our servitude, and our worship to Allah. So, dear listeners, we are humbly talking about how the Salah, the Namaz, or the five daily prayers, the wajib obligatory prayers that we pray, how the Salah helps us in our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. Now, one of the things that we find is there is a verse in the Holy Quran, which of course is the very word of the Almighty Allah, where Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Salah forbids lewdness, profanity, and vice. Now, based upon this Quranic text and this Quranic statement and this Quranic fundamental principle, we are going to discuss this issue about how the Salah helps us in our ubudiyah. Now, of course, when it comes to ubudiyah, the servitude, the worship, and the obedience to Allah, there are different factors and variables which come into play. Now, one of the things that weakens our ubudiyah, of course, is to commit sin. Now, these sins can be in different categories. But one such category that we find that sins are contained within, of course, is this idea of vice, lewdness, or profanity. And here the Holy Quran tells us that the Salah forbids these things. So right off the bat, we understand that when we do our daily prayers, on time, of course, but the variables we will talk about later, but when we do our Salah, it should and it will forbid these kind of negative aspects and these negative morals and bad ethics. So the first way that the Salah helps us to increase our ubudiyah is because it forbids and prevents us from committing certain kinds of sins. Now, there is a caveat here that Salah, the more one pays attention and the more one has presence of heart, the more this Salah